is so exciting. Pray for our country. Pray for our nation. I just have a feeling that something good is going to happen for America. Amen. And I mean that. And have you ever stopped to think about what's so great about America? And if you think about all these things, then you think about the catalyst and the deterrent that America is to the world for helping to prevent, at this point, a world war. And I say that from the depth of my heart, that we need to pray that God will bless and use America like I believe that He wants to in these last days. Jesus is coming soon. And it would take a great country and a good country to make some last decisions that affects the world, to help line up all the things that need to be lined up that will take place at the time of the rapture. When the rapture occurs, people are going to be looking for a leader that has all the answers. And right now, at this point, Jesus is the only answer that people need. Amen? Amen? Okay. Would you please turn your Bibles to John chapter 3? John chapter 3. Pastor has been speaking on different references in John. When he gets to John 3, see, the Lord laid on my heart to bring this message before, and I thought, Lord, please, don't let him preach my message. But we're just happy to be here. We really are. And we have such a good pastor, selfless, loves the Lord, and cares, deeply cares for people. And thank God for Pastor Storm and his wife Carol. Amen. And just do whatever we can to support him, to back up his ministry, and be involved in the ministry that God's called him to do. That is so important. Okay, we're in John chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 16. We'll not read but about maybe five, maybe six verses. But in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Father, we ask now that you'll bless the reading of your word, and we ask that you'll speak to hearts as only you're able through the Holy Spirit using your word. Father, I ask you this morning that you'd help me, that I might be able to hide behind the cross, and so that Jesus and only Jesus is seen. And we'll be careful now to thank you and to give you all the glory and the praise. And we love you. In Jesus' name we ask. And God's people said, amen. Amen. We are going to speak this morning on the greatest verse in the Bible, the greatest bar none. God, in His infinite love for mankind, has created an array, I want you to think on this, of majestic beauty for our enjoyment. The earth, if you look at the things that God has made, you cannot help but be awestruck. The beauty is so phenomenal. Each wonder seems to carry out its message to the faithfulness of God Himself. Have you ever stood at the precipice or the edge of Niagara Falls? Have you ever heard the thundering and the roaring of the waters? Have you ever beheld the sculptured character of the Rocky Mountains? Have you ever seen up front personally, maybe, the glaciers of Alaska or the beauty of the Appalachian Mountains? Or perhaps a simple alpine meadow flower or the uniqueness of the desert in full spring bloom after the rains? Or perhaps you've seen the overwhelming wonder of the Grand Canyon. That's awesome in itself. Near Kiev, Russia, there is a lake called Lake Baikal. The lake is so awesome and unique that people come from all over the world with their cameras, and they take not only pictures, but they write nature articles and different things such as, and this lake is so deep, over 6,000 feet. It's a freshwater lake. This lake is so unique and so clear and so pure, and it holds the sum total of more water than all the North American continent of all the lakes that exist in the North American continent. One lake. Amazing. All of these are great. They're wonderful. And yet they do not even begin to touch or compare with the greatness of God's reaching out to poor lost sinners. God so loved the world. So let's see what's so great about John 3:16. Number one, and we'll look at the verse in parts. It speaks of the greatest love that man can ever know. For God so loved. The word loved in the Greek at this stage in the New Testament, it means God loves with His total person, His complete infinite intelligence, His reasoning, and His all comprehension. God loved completely. When we hear that God in the Scriptures is love, it is manifested and revealed and shown toward the entire world in this verse. Now, look at the words "for God." That means His interest this morning, my dear friends, His interest is for you. He loves you so much, and He loves you dearly. As He sought to protect Adam from sin's penalty, so He reaches out to you today. God loves you, and He wants you one day to be in heaven with Him, my friend. He does. Then His love is so great that He did something about it. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 is a wonderful verse. But God commendeth, the word commendeth means He has shown by demonstration. God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. My goodness, there's not a thing we can do in order to deserve salvation. We must, according to Romans 5:8 and many other, we must be willing to come to Him just like we are. Now, until we're saved, that means we cannot love God. It's impossible. The natural man cannot love God. The love of God and man, it is the love of man, is not compatible. It doesn't mesh. It doesn't come together. It does not flow the same stream through the Holy Spirit of God. Stories told, and I was when I heard this story, I went online. I began to check some historical people in the fort that is up in the wilderness area of northern Canada, and it's called Fort Babine, B-A-B-I-N-E. A young man, loved a young woman, and I'm going to do this because I'm jumping ahead of myself, forgive me. But during the war, a young man loved a young lady with all of his heart. He went off to war in World War II. In a foxhole, one of the mortar rounds of the enemy hit the foxhole that he was in. And through multiple surgeries, and he was brought back to the military hospital that was in the San Francisco Bay Area, and he was amputated all four limbs, all four. I guess you could call that maybe a quadriplegic, I'm not sure. But he wanted, they had planned when he returned from the war that they were going to get married. And he on purpose refused to let anybody write her. She would write letters. The nurses and those on the medical staff would read the letters to him. He couldn't do it. He couldn't pick them up. And the letters would say how much she loved him. And went all the way through all where he was stationed in the battles, all the way back over to San Francisco. One day she found out, by contacting officers in command, that he was in that hospital in San Francisco. And when she found out, she rapidly came to his side. And alongside that bed, she told him how much and how deeply that she loved him. She said, "Your loss of limbs makes no difference to me. It is you that I love deeply, and I want to care for you the rest of our life." She loved him deeply. And my friend, as deep and as sorrowful as this story is, but yet again enlightening and exciting at the end, it does not even take and shed light on how much God loves us, loves you this morning. Secondly, it reveals, John 3:16, the greatest need. Notice it says, "For God so loved the world." The world is the greatest need. Notice the word "world," and here's what exactly that it means in this verse. The total inhabitants, total. The human race, the ungodly multitude, the entire mass of mankind, even that are alienated from God. God so loved the world. The greatest need. This world is headed. There's nobody going to be able to change it. But it is headed toward a certain destruction. And in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, Jesus said the following: "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Wide and easy it is to go out into eternity without the Lord. The world is headed for a certain destruction. And my dear beloved friend this morning, if you are not saved and you do not get saved, you will be headed to a certain eternal destruction. So God's Son took man's sin, our sin, to Calvary. And now, do you know what He wants? He wants believers to take the gospel out to men. And God's people said, He came to us. He wants us to go out to the world. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19 and 20. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Representatives, go-between. Ambassadors, in many cases, have helped keep two nations from coming at odds or even at war. A good ambassador. We used to live in Apache Junction when I was with the Sword of the Lord. I was their staff evangelist. We were all over this country and Canada and you name it, and even flew once in a while to Alaska. And when we were at a church called Fellowship Bible Baptist in Mesa, Arizona, it was on Power Road. It's now called Saguaro Hills Baptist. And I held a four-day meeting there, and there was maybe 20 people on a good day. Auditorium probably sat 250, maybe, and had nice ground, corner lot on Power Road, frontage. And when I left, we went to another church, and the pastor there, Bob Welch, at that time, he made a phone call, and he said, well, he said they had a vote. And I said, Pastor Welch, what do you mean? He said, well, they had a vote, a business meeting, and they wanted me to call you right now. And I said, they had a business meeting about what? And he said, they voted you in to be their pastor. Will you come? I said, yes, on the spot. Because I felt a strong affinity toward that church when we were there. Well, we moved to Apache Junction until later, as the church grew, we were able to buy our house. And I remember a couple. Their names were Tom and Terry, young couple. And one day they were watching a baby of a friend of theirs. And later in the day, there was screaming and crying. The baby died on their watch, watching their friend's baby. And through that, I had the opportunity of leading them because their hearts were tender and they trusted Christ. You know, God, no matter what's the circumstance, He wants us to carry the good news to other people. He came for you. He wants us to go to others. Thirdly, John 3:16 contains the greatest gift that has ever been offered. The greatest. That He gave His only begotten Son in John 3:16. There are four words let's look at. First of all, He gave. The word gave. That's interesting, because speaking about His only begotten Son, that means He was delivered over. He delivered Him over to the cross, and He used that to reach out to you and I through the avenue of sacrifice of His only begotten Son. The word only begotten simply means one of a kind, the only child of God. There has never been one like Him, neither will there ever be. Yet again, if we get saved, we are called the sons of God. So He's unique. And God used His unique Son to become the unique, only sacrifice that He would accept for the payment of our sin for eternity. And then the word Son. The word Son is God's relationship with Jesus Christ, His Son. Now, let's apply this. His Son took our place of judgment for sin itself. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 8:32 says he spared, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So he gave. And then only begotten. God gave all that he had when he gave his son. All that he had. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ, in him, in other words. There was a true story of a man some years ago in Chicago. He was the watchman of a bridge that would be raised up over the river when a ship would come through. And this particular bridge was a railroad bridge. And he would raise it up. His son came and brought him dinner. And he was out playing around the shack, if you please, where the controls were. And he came back in. And the man had been greasing the gears for the bridge. And the son tripped when he came in. And he fell down deep into the gearbox. And now the operator of the bridge has his son in the gears wedged, and suddenly he hears the whistle of the train, the passenger train that comes through in the evening, a steam engine. And it comes through rapidly. He tries to get his son, and he can't, and he's wedged. And the bridge operator did the unthinkable. He cried out. He closed the gearbox and he pulled the lever and the bridge went up. And the son was torn to pieces. But the saved of the life of hundreds upon that bridge. Listen, God gave all that he had. Heaven was emptied when he gave his son to die on this earth at the hands of cruel, wicked people. And he hung on that cross, broken, bleeding, and dying. And God so loved the world that he gave. And my sins were laid upon him, and your sins, the sins of the world. And he paid for the penalty of our sin, so that if we'll put our trust in him, we will be set free. And we will be released from the awful penalty of sin and death. You see, at the cross of Calvary, God actually cut apart his relationship with his son on the cross so that our relationship could be established through the shed blood, his death and his burial and his resurrection and ascension to heaven. The work is finished. John 3:16 is cast in stone. It's established for eternity future. It'll never change. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live through us. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation means to offer and make an appeasement. Christ, by and through his blood, ascended to heaven. And he is ever there as our faithful high priest. But if you would receive him, he makes an appeasement for the penalty of your sin and sets us at peace and at one with God for all eternity. Number four, John 3:16 offers life's greatest decision, that whosoever believeth in him. The word whosoever means anyone. It means every single person that is in this room this morning. It means when you carry the gospel out, it means any person that you share the gospel with. Anybody that calls on the Lord puts their trust in Him, whosoever. Now we have the word believeth. The word believeth means to trust. It means to commit. It means to place your soul into His safekeeping. Anyone can be saved. Anyone. There is no person too hard to get saved. Nobody. That whosoever. Listen to what Jesus says in John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Did you hear that? Come to him, he'll not reject you. Come to him, he'll not turn you away. You must be willing to trust him and to commit your heart to him. The words believeth in him is the key, the locking key, if you please. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. I have a friend up in Alaska. We lived in Alaska for 5 years. His name is George Beasley. He was in the Army, transferred out, went to Fort Lewis in Washington. But I had the joy, his wife came and visited church, and I think Ruth was already a Christian, I'm not sure. But she asked if we'd come out and visit her husband, and we did. She said, the visit won't be easy. He rejects preachers. So we came in, we talked about hunting and everything he liked. And I like using this of people that don't like preachers because I find their soft spot. And then I told him, I said, I've listened to you, George, for about 15, 20 minutes. Would you listen to me for about 5 or 10? He said, sure. I mean, he showed me his caribou, his bear, his moose. I mean, you name it. He showed me everything mounted all over the place. He was an avid hunter. And had the joy of leading George to Christ. And then later his son came and he got saved. We were out hunting one day up by a place called Trapper's Creek. On the way up to the Mount McKinley Park. It's called Mount Denali now, I believe. But it was a breeze. We were hunting. There was not much daylight. And it got dark. We had to cross a river. We put our waders on, took them off on the other side. When I got back to the other side, I put my waders back on, went over and lit a campfire. And it was with our sons, and fire's burning. Pretty soon I heard a gunshot, and it's dark out. I know somebody's not shooting a game. It's illegal. And we started yelling, and we could hear people yelling back. And in the morning, they stayed in that wilderness area cold all night. And in the morning, suddenly they appeared by the campsite and we're cooking breakfast. And they put their waders on and they came across. And I said, George, why didn't you come? And he said, well, because of the winds and everything and through the willows and all the other things that we walked through, it just changed the flow and the carry of the voice. And I said, you know, until you decided to follow our voice, you just out there wondering, weren't you? And I love George and his family. Wonderful people. I'd like to tell you this morning that until you listen to the voice of Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God, in your life, listen. Until you decide to come to Jesus, you will wander all your life lost in sin. And if your life finishes and you're not saved, you'll never go to heaven. And that would break the heart of God. Now listen, number 5, it tells of man's greatest loss. He says, should not perish. The word perish means to be lost, to be destroyed for eternity, to give over to eternal misery and sorrow. Here's the truth. God does not want you to be in hell. If you would, notice verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. God does not want you to be in hell. Would you please look at verse 17? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, poor sinners are lost already until they're saved. A person doesn't become lost. You don't get lost. You become saved because you're already lost. We were born in trespasses and sin. And in sin, David said, did my mother conceive me? And so that nature is with us. And suddenly when a child begins to understand and know right from wrong, the nature kicks in. And a child can, at a later date, become accountable for his and her sin. And so many refuse to come to Jesus. And now in the far northeast part of British Columbia, there is a place called Fort Babin. And there was a man in true history. His name was Victor Babin, B-A-B-I-N-E. He worked among the native Indians on the northern continent up in that area. And he had a young Indian friend with him. In the dead of winter, they decided to travel to the Fort Babin, which was named after him because of all the work that he had done throughout the province of British Columbia. And during that time, a storm set in, a vicious snowstorm. And they did the only thing they could. They got under a great, large pine tree. And they gathered themselves close to each other and tried to keep warm. And that night, the wind blew around them, and they literally were chilled. They felt to the bone. In the morning, they were open their eyes to amazement because just 100 yards away was Fort Babin. Just 100 yards. Now, you see, the snow fogged their vision. Sin fogs our vision. If we're not saved, it'll blind you, and we're blinded in trespasses and sin. I want to ask you, are you just outside of the gate of salvation? Jesus said that he was the door, and people are welcome to come through him to be saved. And here's our last thought. John 3:16 describes the greatest possession you could ever have, but have everlasting life. Three words. The word have means to possess something, in this passage, that is far above riches. You can't put a price on it. All the banks of the world could not even touch the hem of the garment of the riches of salvation. And it means also to be closely joined together in Christ. Everlasting means without end and forever and ever and ever. And then it says have everlasting life. The word life is speaking of a living soul. The fullness of life after you get saved, you'll have fullness of life. And this salvation that God gives will last forever and forever and forever. Now, there's three things and we'll close. First of all, we see sonship. John chapter 1, verse 12. That he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Your soul is not your house. It's not the car that you may or may not like. It is not even your family. The greatest possession you can ever have, and the most important, is your soul. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 16:26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So God loves you, and he wants you to be with him, and he wants you to be saved also. Listen to John 11, verse 25 and 6. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Listen to what he asks. Believest thou this? Do you believe it? Many years ago, a woman in Brooklyn, New York, had her little baby in an apartment. Her husband was at work. She needed to get some food for the baby. So she went down to the corner store. The baby was sound asleep. She thought, I can go there. I'll be there in a short amount of time. And I'll be back and the baby will still, my son will still be asleep. So she went down just for a moment. She came out of the store. True story. Going down the street, she heard sirens. She heard fire trucks. Or that was back before trucks. She heard horses pulling the fire wagons. And she ran and saw that it was her apartment that the flames were licking out of the windows. And the fire was raging. And a certain fireman that had a baby of his own at home went into this inferno. And he went up to the very top of the stairs and broke the door with his axe and went into this blazing inferno. By now, the fire had caught at the top of the stairs. And the stairs are being consumed. And he ran over and wrapped the baby. And he went to the window with fire lashing out about him. And he said, and he yelled up from about the second or third story, someone catch the baby. I cannot come down. And he threw the baby. And they had a little pad that they caught people that would jump. And they caught that baby and saved that baby's life. Some years later, a young woman came to a gravesite, and as she laid flowers at a certain grave, a child standing by her asked, and he said to her, is he your son? She said, no, replied the young woman. He gave his life for me. I was once a baby that he caught up out of the fire. And he gave his life for me. Listen. God gave his son gave his life for you, for us. This morning, nearing the early part of 2019, just around the corner, why don't you start this year with a new walk? Why don't you start this year by making sure that if you were to die, that you'd go to heaven? It's all been done. Salvation's been already provided for you. And God loves you so dearly. He would save you. He would save you gladly this morning if you'll let him. Let's bow our heads, please. With our heads bowed just for a moment, my friend, I'd like to talk to you on a personal level. If you died today, where would you go? Are you absolutely sure that you go to heaven? Have you been born again? You can be. You see, we're like Adam and Eve. Until we're saved, we're sinners. We need a Savior. Jesus paid for your sin. It's a gift. Accept it. Receive him. In just a moment, I'm going to pray, as our heads are bowed, a very simple prayer of salvation. And I'm going to ask as I pray this prayer of salvation that you would pray with me if you would like to be saved, but not aloud, but you pray from your heart quietly. And God will hear you, I promise. And my friend, he'll do the rest. He'll save you. The prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner. That's the beginning. Tell him that. Admit it. And I believe you died for me on the cross. I believe you paid for all my sin with your blood and your life. And right now, the only way that I know how, I'm asking you to come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I'm asking you to save me and change my life and help me to live for you. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, and I love you. Our heads are bowed. How many this morning you would say by the raising of the hand, Pastor Eccles, God spoke to my heart. I came to church. I already was saved. I already am a Christian. But God spoke to my heart about taking the gospel that he gave me and to give it to others, to live for him and serve him on a higher plane and a higher level than I have ever done before. And would you pray that God would enable me and empower me to do that? And I'd like to do this for him. No one's looking. Would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you. Yes. Many hands. Thank you. Thank you. A moment ago, you may put your hands down. A moment ago, we prayed a very simple prayer of salvation. And my friend, would you let me rejoice with you and know that you prayed and asked Christ in your heart this morning? I'll not point you out. I'll not call you out. But if you prayed that prayer with me and you were sincere, the best way you knew how, and you asked God to save your soul, would you and you only, would you just lift your hand just for a moment and let me rejoice and know that? Did you do that? Is there one like that this morning? All right, perhaps everyone in this room this morning is saved. But if you raised your hand this morning that the Lord would use you to be a witness and that the Lord would use you to be a servant on an increased level and magnitude for him, this prayer is for you. Father, we do ask that those that have raised their hands to serve you and to dedicate their life on a higher plane for you, that we ask that you would use them. Use them to be a soul winner, a witness. Use them to invite people and bring them to the services. And Father, use them in such a way that they are aware and they know that your hand and your power and your blessing is upon their life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you look up this way just for a moment? The invitation is going to be given as Victor comes. When we began to sing, if you're